Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we have the story of a young girl who struggled a little bit with OCD and anxiety. She talks about her journey, and you might learn things about how you might be able to support somebody in your life who struggles with anxiety or OCD.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and we have a very special guest today.
We do, the most special guest ever.
Yeah, this is our daughter. This is Mia Ray Kerwin. How you doing, Mia?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, and Mia wanted to come on today because she's gone through some pretty cool but challenging stuff lately. And she came to us about a week or two ago and said she wanted to be a part and share a little bit of her story.
And first of all, thank you for wanting to share your story. And yes, she's been asking us for months, like, Mom, I really want to be on your podcast. And what we've noticed is in her friend group, she's helping a lot of her friends around anxiety and stuff. And, you know, this is your story to tell, but why did you want to be on our podcast today?
To help the people who are struggling with anxiety and share my thoughts through my OCD process.
Okay.
Can we start? Let's just get a little bit. We're going to treat you like any old guest, Mia Ray. So, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how old are you? What grade are you in? That type of stuff.
I'm 11 and I'm going into sixth grade.
No, not middle school already.
Congratulations. I mean, maybe we should start with, we'll tell a little bit of how we think this started, and then you can kind of fill in the gaps with us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what we noticed was a few years ago, things got scarier for you. Things like walking, we have kind of a bigger house, it's long, and walking to the back of the house by yourself started to get scarier. And is that kind of accurate? That's when you first started noticing?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So I would always think that there were bad guys that would come and get me when I walked to the back of the house or even just went to the bathroom by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we've actually introduced it yet, but our daughter was diagnosed with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is an anxiety disorder. And we would never have called it OCD until we really started to see her behaviors kind of escalate a little. And then we went and took her to a therapist who was wonderful, who then gave her that diagnosis. And she has done amazing progress in navigating her anxiety. And I think, can we start with because you had those scary thoughts that somebody bad was going to get you. What does anxiety feel like in your body when you started to notice it?
It felt like I always had to do something in order to feel safe, do an act maybe. And the anxiety felt like scary. And then I thought there was a voice in my mind saying I had to do stuff that I didn't want to do.
It felt did you feel it anywhere in your body, when you would get anxious feelings?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe in my stomach a little.
In your stomach, yeah. A lot of kids who get anxious can feel knots or something, nauseous in their stomach, or even a rapid heart rate. Okay.
What were the first things, Mia, that you started to notice where it just didn't seem, it seemed more than what you thought it was going to be, or it seemed like it was starting to disrupt your life or change for stuff around the house?
Because I noticed that my brother, my twin brother, Jojo, he wasn't having any of these problems, scary, going to the bathroom by himself. He didn't have a problem with that, but I did. And I kind of felt different from him because he just always kind of a little bit tease me about this stuff.
Yeah. So you started to notice that you're different from him and that you were more scared?
Yeah, more scared.
Yeah. What is it like in your body? How would you describe your OCD for you? Because I know it's different for everybody.
Most of my friends don't have a problem going to the bathroom by themselves or sleeping by themselves. But I felt very different from other people because I felt I always needed help or needed someone to come with me whenever I was doing something that a lot of people do alone.
Yeah. What was that like for you to, like, have to feel different from other people?
I kind of felt sad and a little bit annoyed.
Sad and annoyed. Can you say more about the annoyed part?
Because I just kind of wanted to go to the bathroom by myself, sleep by myself, but I always just, when I try, I always thought it was easy, but it was never easy, and it was just harder and harder every time I just...
Well, and it started to get more and more like you needed us for more and more, right? Like you needed us to like walk you to the back of the house or didn't want to go into your bedroom by yourself. And it just like, it seemed like, when was the point, Mia Ray, for you where you felt like, this is really like kind of messing with my life? Like it's kind of like not, it's not helping.
In Maine, in my bedroom in Maine, there was this one night where I was really scared, and there's just this voice in my head saying I had to do stuff, and it kept going on for like 2 hours, and I tried to like stop it, think about other things, but I started crying and like kind of freaking out because I just couldn't stop it.
Couldn't stop it. Yeah, and that's probably when you got really scared, like you felt like you didn't have control of it. Okay, so let's move into, right, you started to go to therapy.
Like, what was it like just to know you were going to go to therapy? Because some kids have never been to therapy. Their parents are like, hey, I want you to go to therapy. Like, what was it like for you to, because was it our idea? Was it your idea? Do you remember?
I think it was both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
What was it like? Like, what did you think it was going to be like?
I thought it was just going to be like these kind of classes that I just talked about my feelings and stuff. But it wasn't actually like I made art. I did a bunch of exposures. We worked for the first like 3 weeks of it. We talked about like what OCD is and like the steps. And then after those 3 weeks, we did exposures, which some of them were like walking by myself with her like 50 feet back or like being in a room by myself.
I remember one exposure when you had to print out like scary pictures of clowns.
Yeah.
I was scared on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, what was helpful in therapy? Because if you're like, if there's kids listening that have like anxiety or OCD, like you can handle it now. Like, can you share what the steps that you take are?
I would say the four steps of anxiety / OCD are, the first step would be, what are my what if thoughts? And like, what am I feeling? You have to notice what you're feeling.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, for example, I would say I'm feeling scared that there's someone in my closet. Maybe there's a bad guy in my closet that I think is going to get me. Then the second step is saying, maybe there might happen. Guess we'll have to find out. But you're not supposed to say, like, I'm okay and there's no one there because that won't help it. Yeah. You want to say it, but that won't help it. So you just say, like, the in-between where it's like, you don't say, no, it's not there. You just say, maybe it could be there. Guess we'll have to find out.
Huh. Okay.
Why do you think that's helpful?
Because saying no would be kind of a compulsion, saying, like, no one's there, just forget about it. It won't help because then that feeling will come back and back again. Saying maybe will be like, I don't know if it's there. Maybe it is. Maybe there isn't. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of being in the middle. Hmm.
So just to clarify, so the first step is like recognizing the what ifs and the feelings. Like what if somebody was behind the door and I'm feeling scared? And then the second step is you're saying maybe could happen, right? That there's somebody that could be behind the door. Okay. Well, that's so good. Okay. And then what's step three?
The third step is saying what you want versus what your anxiety / OCD wants. So what I would want in that situation is to just go to bed and forget about it. But what my OCD would probably want me to do is call one of you guys in or my brothers to come check it. Not myself, because I would be too scared to do that.
Okay.
So you have to say what you want versus what your OCD / anxiety wants.
Okay.
And the fourth step is saying, I can do this. Maybe you can say, if I did that hard time, for example, maybe there was another moment where I was scared, but I worked through that. If I worked through that moment, then I can work through this moment right now.
Hmm. So the third step is, what does my heart want? What does Mia want versus what does my anxiety OCD want?
Yeah.
And then the fourth step is kind of being brave, saying, I can do this. Can I just say, as I sit here listening to you, like, I'm so proud of you because you've done such great work around some of these scary thoughts that you've had to have as a little person. Yeah. Because mommy and daddy also had to learn how to not accommodate, right?
Yeah.
Which was a whole other part of our process.
Well, that was a huge deal, right? Because for a while, you didn't have these steps. So then we had to do things to help you, but it didn't really help you. It just got you through the moment, but it didn't help you with the thoughts. But then also, I think this is important. There were things that we were saying that we thought, especially probably me, that we thought might help you, but actually didn't help you at all, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Because like, I bet you a lot of kids who have OCD have parents or siblings who didn't help them out, kind of like I did. Like, yeah. What were the things I would say before you went to therapy that didn't help?
That you would go check the entire house, or maybe there's no one there. I already locked all the doors. Mm.
Yeah. I try to do that logical thing that you said the OCD didn't help with OCD. I'd say, like, I just went around the houses. I'd say, we got two big dogs.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, I locked everything down and have the alarm on. I'd tell you those things which you'd think would help, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Why? And again, one more time, like, why didn't they help?
Because the thoughts will keep coming around and coming around. Just the words,
yeah,
nothing's there. Those won't help at all because maybe you don't believe those words.
Yeah.
And also, can I just say for me, because you were like, Mom, can you come to the bathroom with me? Absolutely. Anytime, sister, I'll come with you. But now I'm just reinforcing that something bad could happen. And I didn't even know I was doing that. I was like giving in to your, oh, I have to protect her. I just thought I was protecting you and caring for you. But on the opposite side, it was I was actually like reinforcing the anxious thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, mommy has to protect you. There could be somebody in this bathroom, but we didn't quite know the extent of it.
Yeah. Wow. Me asking you, that would be a compulsion.
Yeah.
So how do you tell the difference between the voice in your head that's your anxiety or the OCD and when it's actually Mia Ray?
Well, first, I want to say that you can also name your OCD.
Oh, right?
Yeah. The thing inside of you. I name my OCD Blobby.
Blobby.
Yeah. But what was your question?
Well, how can you tell when Blobby's talking and when Mia Ray's talking?
When Mia's talking, myself, sometimes, like, well, when Blobby's talking, it would be probably, like, asking you guys to, like, do something for me. Sometimes I would lie and say it's just myself, like, I like the lights on, I feel it, but that was really my OCD talking.
Yeah.
Did you always know whether it was Blobby or you?
No.
Didn't. I would think that would be like a really hard thing is to figure out.
What, yeah.
Which is which. Because it's a normal thing. Like I get scared sometimes. There's things like I hear a noise or something. But it's most often it's me saying like, hey, you need to check that out.
Yeah.
Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Innovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you.
Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home. And it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson. If you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner, we know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
So just again, to clarify, the OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, obsessions where something bad's going to happen, mm-hmm. and the compulsions were seeking out adults, me, EJ, your brother, for safety.
Yeah.
Right? And then you named your obsessions Blobby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the process was we got to ask, is this Blobby or is this Mia, to yeah. help it separate from you? Because you are not your OCD, right? But you deal with the anxiety voices. And then now you get to have a choice about which behavior you make. And that, I feel like that was the biggest part of learning, because in OCD, you don't feel like you have a choice, that you need to seek out something for safety. But now you have a choice, right? I could go ask my parents to come with me, or what Mia wants is really to do this on her own. Mm-hmm. Right? And sometimes we'd make negotiations, right? Like, hey, Mia, how about we'll walk halfway back into the room with you? So you could kind of build up that confidence.
And also, a lot of people think that OCD stands for obsessive cleaning disorder. That's what a lot of people at school say. They say, you don't have OCD, you have, because you're messy or whatever. Oh. And that's only for people that like cleaning a lot.
I love that you said that, because I think a lot of people do look at OCD as like, oh, it's a germ thing or a clean thing.
And it can be there's a bunch of different types of, like, there's a cleaning one, which I might struggle with.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's another thing that, like, maybe if you, like, hit your arm, maybe you want to hit your other arm because it feels like it doesn't feel right.
Balance. Like,
yeah. That's,
if I snap one finger, I got to snap the other.
Yeah. But there's probably more that other people struggle with. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like with your friends when you started going to therapy? Was it something that you felt like it was okay to tell them about?
The friends that I really trusted, I told them, like, that I was going to therapy and stuff, because sometimes they would, like, call me on, like, Thursday nights when I had therapy. Mm. But some of the friends, when I didn't go to therapy, in fourth grade, there was this one girl, I'm sure you know her. She said
we do not say names.
She said that I was really, really messy and I couldn't have OCD because she thought that it was just for cleaning. And she said that she had OCD because she's really clean and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know I had OCD yet, but I was, like, scared and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So there's some, what I'm hearing you say is, like, there's some misconceptions. Like, some people think you have to do this to be OCD, but really it's any, like, compulsive thought or a compulsion to do something. And it could look like a many, many different things. But most of your friends were cool about it, it sounds like, and they were supportive.
Yeah, they were really supportive about when I, like, was scared and stuff. They kind of supported me through that.
That's cool.
Can I ask something? What was it like for you when you realized, like, wow, there's nothing wrong with me? Like, yes, I might have this OCD thing, but, like, that there was something to it now, like, that you could name it and that there was a whole process of getting through it. What was that like for you to find some relief, I guess?
I felt kind of more free.
Yeah.
But also, there's some nights where I have, like, I get really scared. And, like, I had one, like, a couple months ago. I haven't had them frequently, but I got really scared and I thought there was someone behind my closet and I had to go to bed early because, like, I was totally freaking out. And I think we got into a little kind of fight because I didn't want to go into my bedroom anymore because I thought there was someone in there, but finally I had to check behind it. But it was really scary for me because I kept on, like, freaking out and, like, I didn't want to go through my steps.
Well, what makes you not want to go through your steps?
Because sometimes I just, like, get annoyed by it, and like, sometimes I just believe that it's me and there's actually someone behind my closet. I like to kind of call those, like, OCD attacks when, like, just you just have them just, like, suddenly, and, like, you cry a lot and, like, kind of break down.
Yeah.
What's it like now? Because now you're not going to therapy anymore and it's better, but you're saying it pops up now and again. Like, what's it like now to deal with it?
I'm still kind of scared. But now I know that I have steps to go through, and I like that helping other people. Like one time, like my mom's friend, her daughter was having kind of a hard time, and I helped her out a bit with actually this worksheet.
Yeah.
But it felt kind of good that I was helping other people that kind of struggled with what I had.
Yeah. What makes you feel strong and brave? Like, it takes a lot of strength and courage to go through and, you know, kind of understand those scary thoughts. Like, what makes you feel strong and brave?
That I got through that whole process that a lot of kids have till they're, like, older because they don't have the resources to help them.
So what would you tell a kid if somebody's mom or dad heard this and they wanted their kid to listen to it? Like, what's the advice you would give some kid?
Probably resume the video and go back to the four steps and do those, but also know that there's a strong bit of them that can get through this, even how hard it is.
What would you tell somebody that might be, like, embarrassed or not really want to go to therapy?
You don't have to be embarrassed to go to therapy. A lot of people go to therapy even for, like, other stuff. Like, my therapist also taught me about, like, ADHD, autism, like, a bunch of the other stuff that people have to go to therapy for. But there's no need to be embarrassed. Like, I went to therapy, and I'm not embarrassed to say that because it's normal. Like, God made us this way to be here.
Yeah, we're all imperfect. We all got stuff to work on, and if you can get somebody to help you out. I mean, because it was great. You have two parents who are therapists, and we really, because we're your parents, we couldn't totally help you out. And this person really knew what they were doing. You really enjoyed being around them, and it, like, changed you and made you more free, like, real kind of quick, right?
Mm-hmm. And also, there's no shame. There's no shame on going to therapy. Because it can help all of us.
I was going to say, what would you say to someone that who might be feeling the exact same way that you feel? Like, scared and, you know, having scary thoughts, but they're too scared to talk about it. Like, what would you say to them?
You don't have to be scared to talk about it because you can find a safe space, maybe at school or with your parents, or if you don't have the people to talk about it with. Maybe you're in an unhealthy environment. Maybe you can go to a trusted adult and talk about it, and maybe they can help you. Yeah.
Do you feel like talking about your OCD and all the stuff that goes, do you feel like it makes you feel like more control of it?
Talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah, I think getting it out there and talking about it, like, you have a choice in it, like, you have control. First of all, it sounds like you're the child of two therapists with all your language. It's so cute. Trusted adults, safe space. So for you, talking about your OCD has made you feel in more control of it and managing it. What else do you want people to know?
That anxiety is okay. No matter how hard it is, you guys can get through it.
You can handle it.
You can handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, like, parents? Like, what would be helpful for us? Because we really don't know, girl. I mean, we know now, but I'm saying there was a lot of things we did that was unhelpful.
If your kid asks, like, if you can go to the bathroom with them, or, like, if you can, like, walk them, make an agreement with them. Say you walk them maybe halfway, but then walk back. Or you'll meet them halfway when they come back.
But definitely parents should do what they're going to say they're going to do. Because I think sometimes I would do stuff like, I'd say I was going half, but I'd only go a quarter. And I don't think that helped because I don't think it built trust, right?
Did that help build trust that you can handle it? Because I always knew you could handle it, right? But I feel like me being there, like, sent this message that you couldn't handle it. So, like, I don't know. Did it help you build trust within yourself that you got this, even though sometimes it's still really scary?
And also, parents should listen to their kids. Like, if their kids keep having anxiety and more anxiety, and the parents just don't help at all, the kid will never get better.
Yeah. How come?
Because sometimes kids need resources. maybe they could have maybe a severe case of OCD that they need help, and like they're struggling with it and they don't want to, they're just like can't handle it.
Yeah. So to really listen.
Yeah.
That children are trying to say something. And when parents are like, pull yourself up by your bootstrap, not that we say that, but no. Yeah, to really acknowledge and validate what the child is feeling.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me ask this, Missa. Do you think one day you'll be a psychologist specializing in OCD?
No.
I got one question for you that's not about OCD, right?
Yeah.
So what's it like to grow up in a family with three brothers?
Well, they teach you a lot, but you can grow up stronger. You may want more attention because you don't have any girl sisters. And like my brother's like Graham, he lets me do his makeup and skincare and hair routine and straighten his hair, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Graham, we're going to use this one day, buddy.
How about being a twin? Is that cool?
It's cool, and it's also kind of bittersweet because sometimes, like yesterday, he was teasing me and, like, kicking me
in the car. I was there. I saw it.
And he can also be, like, when you're kind of lonely, he can be, like, you're the one you, like, hang out with and, like, watch movies with.
Yeah.
You know, he's, like, addicted to Fortnite.
Well, let's finish it off by, I want to ask you, like, what you feel most proud of. Like, first of all, thank you for being on here. I know this is, a big step for you, and I felt like you were compelled to share your story because you love helping others. You're such a support to others. Kids just love being around you because you are so supportive. So what is one thing you're most proud of about you?
Me? That I get to help other people be strong, and that a lot of my friends look up to me, and they trust me to keep their secrets for them.
Why do you think that is?
Because I keep the secrets.
Yeah.
And
that you're trusting in a loyal friend.
Yes.
Love that.
Yeah. Okay. Mia wants to do one more example of something about from her OCD journey.
Okay. So I'm going to do an example of like an OCD thing. Let's imagine that Billy Bob was scared to go into his bedroom because he thought a man was under his bed that was gonna attack him and kidnap him. So he tells his parents, and his parents already know that he has OCD, so they go through the four steps. So Billy Bob says that I'm afraid that there's someone under his bed that'll kidnap him and attack him. And then he says, maybe. There might be. Guess we'll have to find out. The third step would be saying that he, Billy Bob, just wants to go to bed and watch movies with his dog, Bobo. And his OCD wants him to just not go into the bedroom at all, get his mom and dad to, like, look through the house. The fourth step would be that he could do this. So his parents set up an exposure for him. His exposure will be to not check under his bed at all, not check in his closet, just watch movies, go into his bedroom. An exposure for this kind of thing could be maybe sitting outside in the dark for like 5 minutes by yourself, maybe reading a book, listening to music. An exposure could also be maybe closing his door at night.
Mm. Because what about the exposure is helpful?
That when he's in a real situation, not in a real situation, but like when he thinks, he'll be prepared for it.
Well, we also, people are listening, if you want to learn more about OCD, we had an episode a few months ago. It's episode 193. It's with Sarah Brungard, who is the owner of the facility where Mia went and got help for her OCD. And she gets really a little bit more in depth about what exactly it is and all the different types, and really understanding how to know whether that's something you're struggling with and things that might help. So that's a great episode 193.
And Mia, thank you so much for sharing your story and all of the amazing tools that you have now in your tool belt, as we call them, to manage your anxious thoughts and OCD behaviors and compulsions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awesome. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, we're proud of you, Mia Ray.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mia Ray, for being a guest on our show, probably helping so many kids that struggle with anxious thoughts. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?